Matters with Paul Rosen.
Our diets, our Western diets in America are just really, you just don't realize how poor they really are.
What would you say to others who would like to feel better?
Sometimes you need to find the instruction. That's where the testing and everything comes in, because without that knowledge, there's no way I could have got to the point where I'm at today.
Straight talk about health.
And then I start preaching and telling them what I've been doing. And this guy named Paul Rosen has changed my life.
With your host, Paul Rosen.
By the way, the information contained in this program is not approved by the FDA, nor intended to treat, diagnose, or claim to cure any medical condition or dis-ease as defined by Western medicine. However, skilled practitioners of many disciplines have found nutrition response testing to be a highly reliable, supportive technology for assessing the health and fitness of the body's functional system.
A few years ago, Paul, there was a great biography of Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple Computer. The book was by Walter Isaacson, the journalist. Apparently, Steve Jobs made his health worse late in his life by fad dieting. One of the things he did was eat a diet of only apples, kid you not, at one point. And his doctor said that may not have, you know, made him avoid the cancer that killed him, but it did not help his health at all. Steve Jobs, a guy so brilliant doing something so stupid. I guess we all, Paul, are susceptible to falling into the trap of fad diets. Is that right?
Yes, indeed. And of course, there are so many fads out there to and traps to fall into. And they all, you know, tout their particular approach. And the truth of the matter is there's really only one approach.
And we're going to find out what that approach is this hour here on Health Matters. Among other things, we're going to check in with our friend Frontier Pete in just a moment. Also, Health Master, the Health Matters superhero, he'll be here sometime during the show. Paul, what else is happening on the program this morning?
Well, as you indicated, we're going to talk diets, lots of different type of diets. The scientists can't agree, neither can the professionals. So how can you, the public, know with the highest degree of certainty that what you're eating is right for you? And exercise is part of a healthy life, but can you go too far? Plus, seven of the most nutrient-dense foods you can eat.
And those are important. We would like you to take note of this important phone number, 360-750-7375. Call that number. You can reach Paul's office any old time and find out more about the discussion on this program. Also, if you'd like to talk to us right now, we want to hear from you at this number, 503-225-0860. 503-225-0860. Call anytime during the show and discuss with Paul any health issue you'd like to address. Plus, if you go on the program, you could get a copy of one of Paul's books. You could get The Great Health Heist or The Missing Piece, one of
you
those
can.
Two.
All you have to do is give us a call. Sure, you've got a question or two about your own health or about nutrition or the like, or maybe even cars.
And Steve Jobs, you know, when he was...
You didn't catch that one.
I did. I caught that. And we just let it go by. I felt that was best. When he was a younger guy, Steve Jobs did various things. He was a mystical kind of guy. He spent time in India. And I think it was during those studies that he felt across or came across the information concerning these fad diets that did not help his health at all. We'll talk about how people get into these diets that maybe do them much more harm than good at any point in their lives. We'll get to that momentarily. First, though, Paul, let's check in quickly with our friend Frontier Pete. How about that?
Sounds like a great idea.
A moment with me, Frontier Pete, all natural woodsman. Checking out something strange happening at the Haggerty place.
Hey, morning, Pete.
Morning, Mr. Haggerty. What's going on out here?
Well, ever since the big eclipse came through last week, every member of my family and all my hired hands have mysteriously transformed into farm animals.
That's terrible, Mr. Haggerty.
Not really. I'm making a fortune on the eggs.
What about your foreman, Orville? We were fishing buddies on occasion.
This is Orville right here, Pete.
Orville, I'm so sorry, Mr. Haggerty.
Thanks, Pete, but don't get too attached.
Why not?
The barbecue's next week.
Wow, some major fallout from the eclipse.
Yeah, I was taught never name the animals that you're that you intend to slaughter for food.
Yeah, you know, I knew a family down in southern Oregon. They had some great big pigs they raised, and they made that mistake. Their kids named the pigs, and pretty soon they were, you know, enjoying the pigs for breakfast. They didn't know that, though. They just said the pigs were sent to some other farm. It's kind of like when a dog has to be euthanized or something like that. You tell the kids, well, we sent them to live on a farm.
But they were already living on a farm.
Well, it's the, yeah, you know, another farm. I did say that. I did cover that eventuality. All right, Paul, diet.
Somebody else's farm.
Yeah, and speaking of food you can eat and maybe eat your
diets,
pets, whatever, you know.
Diets.
Fad diets. And when I say fad diets, I guess I kind of mean that, you know, seriously, because it seems like a lot of these various diets come and go very quickly, which is the definition of a fad.
And the thing is, you know, because food is so important to all of us, and it is absolutely essential in order to thrive, you know, as a human being on the planet, there's this struggle to know which foods would make a person healthier.
So let me ask you this, Paul, to personalize this. You've talked very frankly about your health issues when you were younger, maybe 20 years ago, something like that, 25 years ago. Did you ever fall prey to a fad diet or maybe some kind of diet plan that you'd failed to think out properly and therefore maybe did yourself no good at all with?
Well, the way you couch that question, I don't think people are reaching out for some kind of answer. You know, the information, unfortunately, as we've talked many times on the show, there's so much mis and disinformation across the board that it's very hard for an individual who hasn't discovered for themselves already what the best approach is. You know, after searching for many, many years to find out what worked best for me, what I discovered was that I'll tell you what I discovered in a second. Let's go over some of these diets.
All right. So we'll hear about Paul's personal experience momentarily. But first, what do you mean by some of these diets?
Well, some of the diets that would be called fad approaches are things like the blood type diet, where the individual who created this particular diet through some research of his own basically sort of separated people by blood types. So if you had a blood type O, your diet should mainly consist of high protein and fat and vegetables and, you know, very, very few fruits and grains. Or if it was blood type A, it was supposed to be a meat-free diet based on fruits and vegetables, beans and legumes. Or blood type B, where there was, kind of a combination, avoiding corn and wheat and lentils and keeping the meats to low-fat meats.
You know, on the surface, Paul, that doesn't sound unappealing in the sense that designing your diet around your blood type sounds like you're individualizing your plan, for one thing. It also sounds properly clinical. You know, if you're looking for a medical approach to creating your diet, something like the blood type diet, on paper, doesn't seem to sound so bad.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Blood type AB, the last one, foods focusing on fermented soy and seafood and dairy and green vegetables. I mean, all of this sounds really good. And the problem is that it turns out there are so many different blood type ABs, Bs, As, and Os. That is to say, there are many, many, many factors, genetic factors, and that differentiate, you know, within the AB community or the O community or the A community. And those things sometimes, make it so that the just following the directives of the book, people don't get the results that they're looking for. There's a reason for that. And then there's the metabolic type diet.
Before you continue with that, Paul, I'm guessing to summarize that the blood type diet isn't individualized enough because there are other factors that play into it besides your blood type,
correct?
Right? Okay.
Then there's the metabolic type, which is, again, an approach that separates people by virtue of how fast or how slow your digestive operations work. Yes.
So how do you determine that, the speed of your metabolism?
A questionnaire. Questionnaire. So
okay.
A promoter of that particular approach provides you with a questionnaire, and depending on how you answer the questions,
I picture a guy in a surgical gown with a stopwatch, timing your metabolism.
Yeah.
But, I mean, is the questionnaire...
You've got a very creative memory.
Creative something. Yeah. I question whether that questionnaire can really determine that accurately.
Well, again, it does give some people some guidance in a way that they wouldn't have any guidance at all. And it can be quite useful. But again, it falls short of what it could be, right? So now you can put together blood type, you can put together metabolic type, and knowing both of those things, you're reaching more success. And then there's the low-fat diet, known as the Pritikin diet. That particular diet, I'm not a big fan of that because fat is extremely important, and we're going to go into more about fat, but fat is extremely important to the body's ability to maintain overall health in general.
And that one's been around for a while, has it not, the Pritikin diet?
It has, and yet there definitely have been people who have benefited from using the Pritikin structure.
Actually, what I'm surprised to hear so far, Paul, is that you're not necessarily slamming these diets in an overall sense. You're just saying they're too limited.
Well, from one standpoint, anybody who reaches out and tries to take responsibility for what they're putting in your mouth, I applaud. I mean, it's like, woohoo!
I can see that, but I guess from my more cynical consumer's point of view, it seems some of these diets, maybe not the ones you've mentioned so far, but others like Steve Jobs and his all-apple diet, those things are promising to be quick fixes. And instead, as in his case, they just make things worse.
You know, I've been restraining myself on that particular example that you're using, but it is kind of ironic, isn't it, that he would choose that particular approach?
Yeah, it is. And it's
based on the fact that he is the
co-founder of Apple Computer.
Of Apple.
Right.
So, you know, let's take that with a grain of salt.
I think that's coincidence, you know. That by itself is coincidence.
I only
bring him up, and I'll bring him up now for the last time, because he was such a high-profile figure who obviously died too young, died of cancer. And again, his dietary...
Pancreatic, as I believe.
Yes, his dietary choices did not lead to that, but they certainly did not improve his health. And if you saw Steve Jobs in the last years of his life, the guy didn't look good.
Well, nobody does in the last years of their life. I mean, if they're dying from disease.
But he wasn't that old. You know, he wasn't.
But he was dying from disease.
Okay, so I got that. But I can't help but think his poor dietary choices contributed to his appearance as well as his bad overall health.
Well, if he knew that he had some problem with his pancreas and he was eating fruit, then he was making a huge mistake from the get-go.
Well, there you go. And again, bottom line, we won't bring it up again, but there you have a very smart guy doing something very quacky to try and improve his health.
Back to fat.
There you go.
nice lead-in.
Before you get to that, though, how about we urge people again to call us up at 503-225-0860, 503-225-0860. Any health topic is fair game on Health Matters.
Fat has been demonized so broadly in this country and in this culture that, you know, the myths that we generally have to overcome, like saturated fat is the cause of heart disease, is just a huge barrier. And people are just reaching for, you know, anything that they, can see as an alternative. And but nothing could be further from the truth. And how it got started was politics. The low-fat craze was politics and power. It wasn't science. It wasn't observation. It wasn't proof. It was just politics and power. So it like, for example, the idea that saturated fat and cholesterol, high cholesterol, are the cause of heart disease is absolutely insane. In fact, more of the science has proven just exactly the opposite.
So for our purposes, for today's discussion, that leads to so-called low-fat diets. And I guess we're going to get to the point where the point you're going to make, which is that people who are going on these diets aren't doing themselves any good.
Well, the profit motive and the capitalistic approach is basically predictable. And so if you've got these people out there, touting how heart disease is related to fat, then the low-fat craze is obviously coming next, and it has. And unfortunately, it's probably done more damage across the board than any other approach, besides, eating, processed food every day.
Well, that's horrifying to hear, because I think many of us still buy into that myth. We've discussed it many times before. But if you talk to almost any consumer on the street, they'll say, sure, fat and cholesterol are just bad for you and bad for your heart in particular.
Yeah, well, it's because they've heard it so many times. You know, it's the typical, it's getting that message out there over and over and over and over, and then ultimately believing it, whether it's true or not. And oh my gosh, do we have a ton of additional, examples of that particular approach on many levels in our culture, right? Just keep saying it. And eventually, people just accept it as fact, and it's not. The foundational study for the cholesterol story was attributed to a study done by medical doctors in Framingham, Massachusetts. This was back in the 60s. However, despite the public display touting the lowering of your saturated fat intake to prevent heart disease, Dr. William Castelli, who was one of the directors of the study, found, and I quote, the more saturated fat one ate, the more cholesterol one ate, the more calories one ate, the lower people's serum cholesterol. Now, that's totally, contrary to what ultimately what has been promoted over these last 50 plus years, right?
That's right.
We found that people who ate the most cholesterol, ate the most saturated fat, ate the most calories, weighed the least, and were the most physically fit. That was in their study.
That's pretty amazing. And entirely contrary to the perceived wisdom, is that correct?
The diet heart hypothesis, which is the fat heart hypothesis, has been repeatedly shown to be wrong, and yet, for these complicated reasons of pride, profit, and prejudice, the hypothesis continues to be exploited, not just by the business, but by scientists, fundraising enterprises, of course, the food companies, and even governmental agencies. The public has been deceived by the greatest health scam of the century, and lots of people are finding this out, and of course, the subsequent diets like the blood type and the Mediterranean and the South Beach and the, so many of these approaches that ultimately turned out to be fad approaches, where people were urged to eat protein and more high quality saturated fat and reduce the grains and sugars, right? Noticed that their health improved in ways that they hadn't up to that point, right? They were actually contrary, following the contrarian approach, contrary to the information that was being promoted by the government and by the people promoting things like low fat and cholesterol is the cause of heart disease, et cetera.
So again, you have this massive industry growing up around this misconception, and that economic incentive is huge. Is that right?
Yeah, the craziness about it was that the people who were promoting low fat were promoting things like margarine and trans fats, right? Fat substances that were actually whipped up in a laboratory, a chemical lab, which have ultimately proved factually, scientifically, to be really, really hazardous to your health, in particular, heart health. right? That was the outcome of demonizing, you know, whole food saturated fats from beef and other meats and butter and eggs, all of which are extremely essential to a healthy diet. For most folks, because some people do need to avoid dairy and eggs at some point, depending on their condition. And again, I'm going to share with you how you can determine that, how to know that with certainty. But all of the foods, the whole foods that were ultimately shelved in favor of the low-fat approach or the no-fat approach have all been shown to be less healthy, all of them. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing, again, because of this long-term misconception that we've brought into. We're discussing diets this morning on Health Matters and why they could be good or bad for you, depending on what you pick. Overall, you need to pick what's right for you. 503-225-0860 to participate in the show this morning. 503-225-0860.
Well, when you say ultimately what's pick what's right for you, based on what? Based on what information? Well, it's an easy thing to say, but that's why they're picking fad diets, because they think it's right for them. But there is a way that you don't have to be left on your own to guess, to try to figure out which one of the many, many, many diets would be appropriate for you. That's what I'm going to share with you.
And when we talk about fad diets, too, Paul, to belabor the point on purpose, they, to me, seem like quick fixes. That's why people pick them, because maybe they're having some kind of health issue, being overweight, whatever it is. They're looking for the quick fix, and therefore they pick the fad diet.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true, but they're trying to do something. At least they're picking. Right, there's more people who aren't picking than there are people who are picking.
I wonder if, too, they're not making the mistake of, in our information-ready age, of doing their own research, going online and, you know, trying to pick out things they think are right for them or particular to their circumstance, and making bad decisions because they're really not getting the proper information. They think they are because there's a lot of stuff online, a lot of legitimate information online, but maybe, you know, without some counseling or some more expert help, people make bad decisions.
If you want to, you know, I'm not going to denigrate people going out there and doing research. I think that's a good thing.
Well, I don't mean to
basically,
do that either.
Basically, what I'm concerned about is what they're actually researching.
You know,
the information out there. There's so much mis and disinformation.
That's my point, yeah. Paul, really right there. And one guy who made that mistake was Roger Ebert, the film critic, who also was killed by cancer. He chose a pretty dangerous experimental method. He was told from the beginning that this could lead to disaster for you, but he had done his own research, and he put all this out there in his autobiography. He said he made the wrong choices based on his insistence that he find out for himself.
And I'm going to share the way in which you can be almost assured that you're making the right choice.
I also heard an interview lately, Paul, with Alice Cooper, the shock 70s rock star. He was an alcoholic for many years. He had serious addictions. So drugs and booze, those are addictions we all know about. What about exercise? Yes, exercise can be addictive in a very unhealthy way. More on that later in the show. Here on Health Matters.
This is Paul Rosen, and you're listening to Health Matters broadcast every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. and rebroadcast the following Saturday from 6 to 8 a.m. Remember, go to my website if you want to find out more information about nutrition response testing, acunatural.com, acunatural.com. In the meantime, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
There is hope out there.
And you're doing better.
I'm telling people there's an exact plan for you.
Wow.
And it was, I just could not believe it.
With your host, Paul Rosen.
Obsessive exercise is bad for you. Details later in the hour here on Health Matters. 503-225-0860 is the number to call to speak directly to Paul Rosen this morning. He's standing by ready to discuss your health issue, whatever it is. And the good thing is you can get on your road to solutions right away. 503-225-0860. Paul, we're talking diets.
We are. And I want to, at this point in time, I want to share with folks the the approach, which in my clinical experience has been the most effective approach of all of the various approaches that you can possibly research.
The best approach.
The best approach. Most effective approach.
To find the best diet for your particular situation? Okay.
And that is to get tested. Find out via nutrition response testing and the additional technology that I'm using in my office, heart sound recording, which is really cool, and I'll talk about that sometime later in the show. And then you can identify with the highest degree of certainty exactly what foods you should be avoiding and what foods you should be embracing. And it is this approach, after years and years of search and research, that I did when I was at my sickest, that got me where I needed to be. After researching, and I was a professional doing the research, not just a layperson, and after sorting through all of the potential diets available to me, finding this particular technology was what put me over the top. That's what enabled me to regain my health. And when you think about it, it's a good example for you fishermen and women out there. If you want to catch fish and you're in uncharted territory, wouldn't it be a good idea to have a guide? Someone who knows the river, the stream, the lake, the ocean? Wouldn't it be a good idea? Right? Very few fishermen go out in the ocean without a fish finder these days, right? A device to be able to identify where the schools of fish are. Right? If you want to catch fish, you need a guide. No matter how much you squiggle, wiggle, and resist, right? Sure, you may go out there and get lucky. But for most folks, how much time do you want to waste? How much time do you want to spend going through an area which you're really not familiar with, right? It's the unfamiliarity that takes a lot of the air out of and most of the success out of finding the dietary approach that will work for you.
I think, Katie,
yeah,
there we go.
Katie, patient of mine, discovered this. She finally threw up her hands and go, you know what, I've been doing this, and I'm not successful. I'm, you know, now in dangerous territory, using some prescription medications, and you know what? I'm going to find a guide. And let's hear it from her. Katie, how did you hear about nutrition response testing?
On KPAM.
On KPAM.
Right. I heard you, like I told you last week, I heard you three times before I actually called.
It took three times. Yeah.
You know, the first time I thought, oh, yeah, right. And then the second time I was going to call Monday morning, the first thing. And I didn't. And so then the third time I heard you, I thought, okay, I am calling tomorrow morning. He is talking about everything that I feel.
And what was I talking about?
Okay, just indigestion, bloating, gas, just feeling reflex, just everything. Just everything that you're talking about today, too. That's what I was doing. That's what I was experiencing.
So many of us, really, we experience this before we actually find out, you know, what our nutritional deficiencies and barriers to healing are. Of course, you didn't know what those were until I actually introduced them to you. But,
right.
So you were experiencing all those things, and you know, so what was it about? What was it about? You know, me or the show? I'm always so curious that kind of caught your attention. Was it just the symptoms? Talking about the symptoms, or
right? It was, because I was just thinking, yes, oh man. And then there were people that were calling in. And we're kind of saying the same thing and how their lives have changed. And I thought, doggone it, maybe mine will too. Maybe feel better. I didn't, because I thought I was eating pretty well and doing really everything pretty well. And
yeah,
boy, when you get off of some of the things that you suggest to take totally out of your diet.
And what happens?
You hate to. You know, it does make such a difference.
It makes a difference. So you thought, I mean, you were not, you were actually doing some things for yourself. I mean, what were all the things that you were doing?
Well, I thought I was eating very healthy, you know, and I was eating a lot of spinach, my friend's spinach, remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
I was eating spinach breakfast, lunch, and dinner, practically.
Yeah.
Loved it, and I just thought I was being very, very healthy, good iron source and whatever.
Right.
And obviously, I feel so different not eating it.
And not eating spinach.
I know.
But spinach is, you know, Popeye, the whole thing, you know, it's like
spinach smoothies, even.
So you were basically killing yourself slowly, even though the you know, spinach might necessarily not be a problem for somebody else. That's what you learned, right?
Right, exactly.
So you got your evaluation. Was the evaluation, you know, uncomfortable? Was it?
No, not at all. No, very nice. You don't like Veronica, I believe, or whoever was the
Vanessa
caller, right? Said you don't have to take your clothes off. You don't have to do blood tests. You don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. And it was very painless
and accurate.
Very professional. Very accurate. Yeah. And
yeah.
So I think I've been doing this for what, like a month now?
A month. A
month or 5 weeks, one or the other.
Yeah.
And I feel so different. It's amazing.
Tell me, well, explain it for people. I mean, first of all, you got the evaluation, then you got your individualized nutritional healing program.
Right. And my supplements. And I'm a person that has a real hard time remembering to take pills. If I have a prescription for something, I have a very, very difficult time remembering to do that.
So
I've been very diligent.
And why? So what makes this easier?
I don't know. It's just kind of a mind over matter type thing that I'm going to do this because I am feeling better and I want to continue to feel better.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
And I feel more aware. I mean, I'm just like...
Isn't that interesting?
Like, I'm like aware and stronger. It's just amazing. And I was not sleeping very well.
So symptom-wise, what were all the symptoms that you were having that you are either not having now or are having less of them?
Okay. The bloating. I mean, I would eat something, and it wouldn't even have to be that much at all, and I would just feel like I was just bloated to the gills. And that's gone. Totally
wow.
gone.
Wow.
And the not sleeping. I mean, I'd sleep like 3 or 4 hours a night. And I'm up to like 6 or 7, so that's a definite improvement for me.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, it really is.
Because that's in so many ways the foundation.
Right, right. And much better quality sleep, I think, also. I'm not waking up. You know what I mean?
Because right.
I'd be waking up every half an hour,
right.
whatever, and then go back to sleep a little bit. And so I'm not doing that any longer. And just feeling so much better. In fact, before I would eat something, again, thinking it was very healthy, very good for me.
Like what?
What was that? What did you take me off of? Well, grains.
Some grains, yeah.
Grains. And I just thought that breads were my friend. So I would have like a sandwich or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Go to a deli and get a nice little sandwich. Or I'd go to Subway and get a sandwich or something. And I'd think, well, this is really healthy. It's got lots of veggies in it, you know. And within about an hour, my stomach would be just like churning and growling. And I was like, well, this is really weird. And again, that bloaty feeling.
Right.
So I don't have that.
So hearing that, Paul, one of the things that sticks out to me is I wonder why people most commonly seek out a diet. I would think it's because of weight issues, but there you have Katie who had digestive problems mm-hmm. and a number of other things going on. In your experience, do most people seek to lose weight when they're picking a diet?
Yes. And most people have that as the in the forefront. That's their main issue. And yet when you question them a little bit, you find out that they have various different types of symptoms that come and go or that are present on a regular basis. They may even be taking over-the-counter medications, many of them, right? And they're looking for a diet. And then there are some people who just, recognize how important their health quality is and are, being preventative about it. But like I said, what happens is we think... And all of our research, et cetera, out there, this sounds good and that sounds good. And the reason there are so many different dietary approaches out there is because there are so many different types of people. Right? This kind of escapes us. And so we think, oh, well, this diet helped this person. They've got the same symptoms I do. Certainly it's going to help me. And a lot of the times it doesn't. That's what Katie found out. That's why she came to see me. And that's how we use the nutrition response testing to identify her personal, unique characteristics and what she needed in order to turn things around. And that's the result.
One of the bad things about many diets is they deprive you of protein. 7 protein-rich foods are something we'll discuss later in the program here on Health Matters.
This is Paul Rosen, and you're listening to Health Matters, brought to you every single Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. and rebroadcast the following Saturday
from 6 to 8 a.m. And if you've missed any of these broadcasts or care to listen to past shows, go to my website at AccuNatural, that's acunatural.com. Click on the radio show page, follow the directions, and enjoy. In the meantime, Rod and I will be right back, so stay tuned.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
And if you really think about it, what does medication do except treat the symptoms?
Exactly.
Then once you eliminate that and you reach a different plateau, it's indescribable.
Straight Talk About Health with your host, Paul Rosen.
The South Beach Diet, the Mediterranean Diet, the Zone Diet, Atkins Diet, Paleo Diet, Volumetrics. These are all types of diets, good, bad, indifferent. They're our discussion topic this hour here on Health Matters. 503-225-0860. We'd like to hear from you right now at that number, 503-225-0860. Don't let me forget to mention, Paul, that if people go on the air and discuss their health issue with you, they could get a copy of one of your books, The Great Health Heist or The Missing Piece.
Free!
Absolutely
for free.
Absolutely free. And as always, any health issue is fair game.
So all the diets that you just mentioned all fall short. And they fall short because they don't take into account the individual uniquenesses of every person. Every single person. But also the interesting thing about all the diets that you just mentioned, they do generally have an approach which is useful. And that is, it begins to help people recognize that consuming fewer high glycemic foods, grains and fruits and sugars, is definitely the beginning of a very good approach to helping not only reduce overall inflammation, but restoring normal function and providing some nutrient density for an individual. So that's interesting. A lot of those diets that you mentioned are all, you know, lower grain, lower fruit, or lower sugar, concentrated sweetener approaches.
And clinically,
that's definitely a very big step in the right direction. But as I mentioned earlier, in the if you want to catch fish and you don't know the area and you're not certain and you've got all different possibilities, having a guide who has proven over time by virtue of your research, right, to take fisher persons to the right area to fish, you'll catch fish.
I think what you just said speaks to the point too, Paul, that many of these diets have things in common. I think with some of them, they just have one or two things which tend to differentiate them from the others, and that's all a matter of marketing. For example, I mentioned this thing, Volumetrics. According to their information, it's based on gauging the energy density of food, basically calories. They say if it has less calories, it's going to be better for you.
Anyway, just discount that approach. But and then I did want to mention, because there are these synthetic approaches such as MediFast and Nutrisystems and the like, and these are basically canned products which are put together by chemists in a laboratory, and they are absolutely to be avoided at all costs, because as I have shared with all of you out there many times, the vitamins are little bioenergetic machines. They have multiple working parts, and if there's any part missing, then the machine itself, the engine itself, will not work. Period. End of story. Right. If you want to find out how your car engine works and you want to reduce it to its most important component, and you took the engine apart, what would you find? You wouldn't find the most important component. You'd find many important components, all of which are necessary when they're put together in a particular way to enable that engine to perform its function. That's what vitamins are. And this is proven in my clinic. This has been shown to be true since vitamin therapeutics became a thing in the late 1920s, early 1930s. Brought to you by Royal Lee and Standard Process. And no synthetic vitamin can ever
work as a vitamin in the body. Now, they can work as a drug, a medication, because they are a chemical, but they cannot work as a vitamin which will ultimately be able to enhance and promote the normal function of any organ and or gland or tissue in the body at all. So this diets, you know, or approaches like Nutrisystem and Medifast, you should just reject out of hand. That is, if you want to be healthy.
And there are many diets like that, Paul, which are kind of overall diet plans. They have their own products. There's one I won't call out by name, but they have shakes, entrees, multigrain hot cereal, puddings, snack bars. It's a whole line of food that you can buy to keep yourself on this particular diet. And maybe that speaks to the fact, too, if they have puddings and snack bars, those probably have a certain amount of sugar content, which, as you've relentlessly said, is just not good for you.
And don't get me wrong. Many of these diets, like Weight Watchers or other types of approaches where there are, you know, food items that are promoted, you can lose weight at these things. There's no doubt about that. But as I've said many times and I share with my patients, losing weight is not the first and foremost issue to restoring your health. It just isn't. It just isn't. Can it be helpful? Absolutely. But you have to know on the front side, while your body is losing weight, whether or not your organs and glands are actually coming back online, you know, in a way that they should. And honestly, the only way to know that is testing, is evaluation. Not chemical evaluation, but energetic evaluation.
I think we should also take into account the fact that when some folks go on diets, they aren't necessarily thinking in terms of overall health. They're thinking about their appearance, first and foremost. They're thinking, I'm going to lose some weight and look better. And whatever health benefit they derive is probably, at least in their minds, secondary.
Yeah, perhaps. It's hard for us to put ourselves in somebody else's mindset. But as I've said many times, at least taking some approach, doing something is a good first step. But if you want to be successful with the highest degree of certainty, you must take advantage of the opportunity to find out what your own uniquenesses are. If you really, truly want to succeed, be successful, establish the highest quality of life that you can experience. And
so
that's
watch out.
That's the that's nutrition response testing. And the rest of that, you know, by the way, with the approach you know, of having all these foods packaged and whatnot for you, that's a great marketing program. You know,
it's a way to sell stuff.
It's a big way to sell stuff. Right? Hundreds of millions, a billion-dollar industry.
Here's something to watch out for, something that can cause diabetes, even inflammation of the heart. It's exercise. We'll tell you how that can happen next hour here on Health Matters, plus a brand-new adventure of the Health Matters superhero, Health Master.
This is Paul Rosen, and you're listening to Health Matters broadcast every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. and rebroadcast the following Saturday from 6 to 8 a.m. And if you've missed any of these broadcasts, care to listen to past shows, go to my website, AccuNatural, that's acunatural.com. Click on the radio show page, follow the directions, and enjoy. In the meantime, stay with us because we'll be right back with the second hour of Health Matters. Stay tuned.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
Our diets, our Western diets in America are just really, you just don't realize how poor they really are.
What would you say to others who would like to feel better?
Sometimes you need to find the instruction. That's where the testing and everything comes in, because without that knowledge, there's no way I could have got to the point where I'm at today.
Straight talk about health.
And then I start preaching and telling them what I've been doing. And this guy named Paul Rosen has changed my life.
With your host, Paul Rosen.
By the way, the information contained in this program is not approved by the FDA, nor intended to treat, diagnose, or claim to cure any medical condition or dis-ease as defined by Western medicine. However, skilled practitioners of many disciplines have found nutrition response testing to be a highly reliable supportive technology for assessing the health and fitness of the body's functional system.
Here's a diet many would like to get behind Paul Rosen, the cookie diet. Yes, there are several diets that say you can lose weight, make yourself healthier by eating cookies. Another diet says you can make yourself healthy by eating like a werewolf. We're talking diets this hour here on Health Matters, among other topics. What other topics, Paul Rosen, are we covering this hour on the program?
Where does that come from?
Well, I'll tell you in just a moment. That's a tease. That's so you'll be interested and want to keep listening and want to hear more.
You think there are folks out there who want to know how to eat like a werewolf?
Sure, and others who would like to know how they can eat cookies and make themselves healthy. Plus, well, hang in there, too, because we're going to be hearing from our Health Matters superhero, Health Master, momentarily.
Plus, we're also going to be talking about exercise and how too much exercise actually is not healthy. And I'm also going to share seven of the most nutrient-dense foods with you. But we have been talking about diets and the unfortunate confusion that's created, simply by marketing hype and mis and disinformation and lack of actually scientific underpinnings and just plain ignorance of the facts, and how Katie, for example, discovered that although she thought she was eating well, packing down her spinach, it turns out that was the absolute wrong thing for her to do. And we were able to identify that her own uniqueness and why eating that dark green leafy vegetable wasn't useful and why it may not be useful for you.
Which speaks to the point that there are other things you can do with a good diet besides lose weight. Give us a call now, too. We want to hear from you at 503-225-0860, 503-225-0860. Call and go on the air with Paul. Get on your road to better health. And also, if you do all that, you may get yourself a copy of one of Paul's books also, The Great Health Heist or The Missing Piece. Okay, Paul, the cookie diet, the werewolf diet, plus your points about Katie and her road to better health. We'll get to all that momentarily. But first, how about Healthmaster?
Excellent.
His latest adventure. Here we go.
The Adventures of Healthmaster, Champion of the Nutritious.
I've always dreamed of running across the roof of a moving train, Healthmaster.
Not now, Major Atomic.
Here's the car for the meeting. Armcat door.
Say, Fiona, how about a drink sometime?
I'm not human. I don't drink.
Maybe a walk in the park?
Give it a choice. I'd rather be buried in the park.
You have no business aboard this train, Healthmaster.
You're transporting rare industrial chemicals, Mr. Three-Piece.
And there have been disturbing rumors about those chemicals.
Stuff your rumors, Mr. Librarian.
A little more courtesy, please.
You might want to pay attention to our sexy female robot here, Mr. Three-Piece.
I'm Fiona, Artificial Intelligence.
She's here to monitor deadly chemical emissions.
Then what's with the old man?
This is Major Atomic, my retired superhero friend.
No emissions here. I have the salad for lunch.
Glad you got my email, Major.
You know, in my era, we didn't have fancy schmancy emails, just good old Morse code.
Morse code. In your era, nutrition was miserable, disease was rampant, and the average lifespan was 20 years shorter.
Yep. Those were the days.
Detecting suspicious activity.
Why are you moving towards the back of the car, Mr. Three-Piece?
Just grabbing this hose back here, Mr. Librarian.
Why is there a hose in a train car?
So I can clip it to this nozzle I'm surgically attached to the back of my neck.
What?
What are you pumping into yourself?
Chemicals from the tanker car next door.
What chemicals?
Well, folks, I'm off to run on the roof of the train, just like in the movies. Wanna tag along, Fiona?
Thanks for your courteous invitation, but no.
Courtesy? Hell, I wanna see you shake that thing, baby.
Mr. Three-Piece, what's happening to you?
He's expanding with the chemicals he's pumped into his body!
This is the secret you'll carry to your graves, morons!
He's turned into a 12-foot juggernaut of muscle.
Made of pure liquid, the form of the new master species!
The new master species is Perrier?
Here, Fiona, take my voice-activated laser cannon.
Certainly, Health Master.
Giving up already, superhero?
I need nothing but my fists for you, Mr. Three-Piece.
It's your funeral, idiot. Why are you pounding on the side of the train car, you cretin.
You'll know in a second.
What do you mean? Wait, what's happening?
He's melting.
He's dissolving like bad cosmetic surgery.
No, this can't be. This isn't possible. No.
Healthmaster, what did you do?
So that's why I needed no weapons.
You banged on the wall and sent a Morse code message to Major Atomic on the roof.
And as Healthmaster instructed, I just shut off the hose carrying the chemicals to Mr. Three-Piece.
Brilliant. Healthmaster.
And we may as well announce Fiona and I are making it legal.
You're getting married?
No, she just got a restraining order.
At least 30 feet away, at all times, weirdo.
Whatever.
Healthmaster.
Healthmaster.
America's chemical manufacturers do not advocate anyone turning into a 12-foot juggernaut of liquid muscle.
Now, that was exciting. That was an exciting adventure.
Wow.
Do you think chemicals in our food could turn you into a 12-foot juggernaut of liquid muscle?
No, I think they can turn you into whatever height you are reverse your health quality more quickly than you can imagine.
Just make a mess of you in general.
Make a mess.
These cookie diets, Paul, I mentioned a moment ago, they have several of them. There's something called Dr. Siegel's Cookie Diet, the Hollywood Cookie Diet, and the Smart for Life Cookie Diet. They say that eating cookies will help you drop pounds, and you don't get to chow down on chocolate chip cookies. They have these special dietary cookies, they say, that provide all the ingredients you need for a healthy diet.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I have a piece of the Astoria Bridge that I've been selling for many, many years for all those who are going to reach out for the cookie diet. It'd be very, very important to utilize those on the piece of the Astoria Bridge that I've got for you.
Also, your bridge may equate with the werewolf diet, and that one's actually pretty
simple.
That's
a joke, folks.
It's not a joke. The werewolf diet, also called the lunar diet, means simply fasting.
No, my thing is a joke.
It went by so fast that I just missed it, Paul. Your wit is too subtle for my primitive brain.
Too dry.
The lunar diet, a.k.a. the werewolf diet, simply means fasting according to the lunar calendar.
And they've been doing that for a long, long, long,
long
time.
Wow. Yeah. That one's pretty amazing to me. But these are actual marketed diets that are out there, and apparently they're doing some business because they've been lasting for some time.
My experience is there's no limit to myth and superstition. Just none. Zero. No limit.
And the werewolf diet basically works for some people because they just stop eating, so they lose weight, and they feel, okay, I guess it works. I better, plan my diets according to the lunar calendar.
I think we should hear part two of Katie, who actually set aside myth and superstition, who set aside the myths and disinformation of her research and whatnot, and continued to relate her extremely effective, successful experience with taking control, finding out what her specific, unique requirements, both nutritional deficiencies and barriers to healing, utilizing the nutrition response testing approach. And, let's just hear it from her, part two.
And so when I say that you eat your way there and you can eat your way out, that makes sense now, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So did you try any other types of things to address, your sleep and your digestive system?
I was just kind of at wit's end trying to think, what the heck is going on here? Because I, like I said, I kept saying, I think I'm doing really everything I should with eating pretty well and that type of thing. And I don't know, I'm thinking, well, maybe it's just a little stress in my life or something that's causing.
Right. There you go. Yeah. You're thinking stress is the deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, because you hear about stress. Everything causes stress.
Right.
Stress causes everything.
Right. There you go.
In your body and all that kind of stuff. So I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm a little stressed. So perhaps that's why I'm not sleeping. Perhaps that's why my tummy's kind of like feeling a little uneasy and those type of things. And it's just totally different.
I mean, it's not that stress isn't a factor. It's just that it's not the factor.
Exactly.
It's nutrition.
It is, exactly. Totally.
So what was the most challenging part when I did the evaluation,
mm-hmm.
You came back a second time for your report of findings, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And so we went over what the findings were and then what the nutritional healing program was going to be.
Right.
And so what was your experience at that point? I mean, what were you sort of thinking to yourself?
Well, I'm thinking, okay, I can do this. I can give this a try, see if it's going to change. You know, because I'm thinking, if it doesn't, okay, I've, you know, had my little evaluation and whatever. But if it changes, this is going to be better. And it was just like the first week I could tell that I felt so much better.
Wow.
I really could. I was just like, wow, this is interesting. And so then I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe this is just a little by accident. And so I've been continuing on, and just every week I just feel better.
Yeah, it was by accident. You accidentally took control, and then that sort of turned into, you know, some good experience.
Exactly. Yeah, it really has. It's been just really interesting, and so I'm doing it.
So what's the biggest challenge? For you, what was your biggest challenge?
My biggest challenge is giving up the grains, I think. And I did not think that I ate that many until I'm really, really aware of what I was eating previously and to what I'm eating now.
Isn't that true?
Right.
Awareness.
I think I came in one time and I said, okay, what the heck am I going to eat for breakfast? Because I was used to eating oatmeal and, you know, cereal and yogurt and very good things like that. And it's like, okay, now I can't have those.
And did we help you with that?
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, you said that you have soup every Friday morning for breakfast. I was like, okay, I can do that.
Now, are you off of...
And yesterday, it was pretty darn good.
Were you just temporarily off all grains right now?
I hope so.
Okay. So
I hope they can come back into my life at some point.
Well, you know, we all do. We all do. Yeah, we all do. And it's not necessarily, you know, a definite that you won't. But
right.
But let's just say worst case scenario, and you could never eat a grain in your life. Would you choose to feel the way you feel or eat the grains?
I'd choose to feel the way I feel.
There you go.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it's like.
Because I just felt like I was just getting drugged down or something. It was just like, in fact, this just feels like the big weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So she cut out grains for her particular situation, Katie's situation. That was an improvement in her diet. I'm going to line up a scenario for you here, Paul, and you can tell me whether or not it's a good or bad thing for me. You said that fats are good for us, right? The right mm-hmm. kinds of fats, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah.
So you do advocate eating meat. Red meat is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I like a burger every now and then. And I was in the Pearl District last night, wanted to do some shopping at Powell's. So I went to a place, I won't name them by name, but they're a gourmet burger joint. And they were fairly new. They've only been up there since May or so, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Went in there, and this is not the healthy part. I spent $20 on a burger and fries.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, in New York, I think it's more.
Yeah, it's outrageous. That's ridiculous. And granted, that included a tip, so I don't see that as being necessarily healthy. But every once in a while, that burger's okay, right?
Absolutely. But if you're going to eat meat, you really want to choose meat that is pasture-raised, raised pasture, totally available in the markets these days, and that doesn't was raised without hormones and antibiotics and any other kind of chemical additives. And also GMO-free.
I think there are some burger joints that are offering that. I remember reading just a few years ago about a place in New York, speaking of which, they had a free-range burger for $40.
Yeah.
Wow, twice what I paid for my burger and fries last night in Portland, Oregon.
Well, you can go right down to the store. You can go to New Seasons Whole Foods or Chuck's you know, get yourself some pasture-raised beef and make your own burger for quite a bit less than that.
Yeah, and that's the better way to go. But again, the individual choices are what matter. And in my case, I really enjoy red meat. I like steaks and burgers and all that kind of thing. And I choose to believe that's part of a healthy diet in my case.
And the thing is, you know, there is a way to find out for certain whether it is useful for you. I mean, you choose that. You choose that based on your likes or dislikes. But, you know, some people, and we talked about that, you know, the blood type information sort of is definitely moving in the right direction. Because it is, as you say, beginning to differentiate for people, it's differentiating, taking into account some uniquenesses of that individual, their blood type. But there's a much more effective, much more accurate way to do that. And that is through the evaluation. That's why Katie, who was sorting through all kinds of approaches and scratching her head trying to figure out what the heck is going on, and we were able to guide her, you know, right to the right to the successful approach.
Here's a transition, Paul. If you'd like some guidance, 503-225-0860. Call that number right away and talk to Paul Rosen here on Health Matters, 503-225-0860. During our discussion of diets, Paul, we've mentioned a number of questionable plans. Here's one, the baby food diet. The baby food diet. In this one, dieters replace breakfast and lunch with about 14 jars of baby food, and then they eat a low-calorie dinner.
Wow.
That one strikes me as especially bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, eating baby food. If you can picture that, adults actually spooning that stuff in. Apparently, the baby food is calorie rich. And there you have another instance of people believing that calories have something to do with diet. I don't know. Your thoughts?
Well, it's why we do the show, to try to help people sort through all of the mis and disinformation, you know, out there. It's just, really, it's extraordinary.
So maybe they should market baby food for adults, like shrimp cocktail baby food.
I mean, if you're not willing to accept the fact that you may be lost, you may be confused, you may be uncertain about either how or where or who, you know, take Katie's cue. Come and get evaluated. Find out your uniquenesses. You know, the worst that can happen is you'll feel better and do better. But for those people who just can't see their way through and are just going to continue to fight the good fight on their own, right, until things go horribly wrong, and then maybe we'll wake up and take control, you want to make sure that you're eating whole foods, foods that are fresh. Foods that, yes, you actually have to make. You have to cook. You have to learn how to do that. You want to eat foods that will spoil, meaning they have a very short shelf life. That's how you'll know they're fresh. And I already sorted out the meat for you, the red meats, pasture-raised, using organic feeds, GMO-free, chemical-free, antibiotic-free. Same thing, you know, with the poultry. Same thing with the lamb and eggs, pasture-raised eggs, chickens that are not raised on GMO feeds, maybe even corn and soy free as well. Plenty available, all available in the markets right now. You can get it. You want to eat dairy products that are not pasteurized, right? That are raw. Plenty of raw cheese, for example, available in the markets that I've mentioned. And as far as fats go, you want to consume fats like butter and olive oil and peanut oil and sesame oil and coconut oil. Those are the oils that you can, and you want to avoid the vegetable oils. Avoid them. Do not use them.
Now, don't some diets, Paul, incorporate some of those rules? For example, the Mediterranean diet is big on oils. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. They incorporate some the diets that we were talking about earlier, other than the chemical diets like, you know, Nutrisystems and Medifast and those types of things, do include whole foods. But again, I'm talking about these are general guidelines, general suggestions for the people who still want to go out there and sort through the muck, who aren't interested yet in knowing their specific uniquenesses. Will they fall short? Absolutely. Almost 99% guaranteed that they'll fall short. But if you want to fight that good fight, I'm okay with at least the first step, the gradient step, eating fresh food, giving you a few hints, guidelines, so to speak, that you can use.
Some of these fad diets are fun, too, and they're kind of counterintuitive to the phrase fad diet. Here's what I mean by that. When you say fad, you think of something that doesn't last very long. It's a fad. Well, the grapefruit diet has apparently been around for about 80 years, but it can only be called a fad diet because people who adhere to this say that if you plan your meals around grapefruit or grapefruit juice, if you specifically make your meals consist mostly of those, the fruit contains fat-busting enzymes that will help you lose weight. Some dieters on the grapefruit diet say they've lost 10-plus pounds in as little as 12 days.
Yeah, but losing 10 pounds is easy. All you have to do is cut
out
the grains.
Right. They're not eating much. If you're just eating grapefruit, how could you not lose weight?
I mean, you know, and most of the diets, most of the dietary approaches in weight loss are really about that. Right? They're just about starving the body. So, but moving on, eating some fresh fruits perhaps, except for people with ongoing chronic immune challenges and diabetics, nuts and nut butters, and lacto-fermented foods and vegetables like sauerkraut, for example, are an absolute necessity in terms of maintaining the microbiome of the body. I mean, we can go on and on and on, but these are all important steps in the process. The biggest step is actually finding your specific, unique requirements. And there's no other way to do that than to seek out the guidance of someone who knows how to do it.
And with all those ingredients you've mentioned, Paul, all those healthy ingredients, you can make yourself some very attractive meals, I would think. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're having to sacrifice the joy of eating, really. You just have to do it properly.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have to do it in a way that's specific to your case, and that's where I think the biggest challenge comes in. Again, we're all looking for the generic fix. We can even eat healthy foods, some of those you've mentioned, but if you're not applying it to your particular case, maybe you're just spinning your wheels.
Well, you're spinning your wheels if you don't have a guide, generally speaking. I mean, that's what I found out for myself, when my health went south. In a big way, and it took me confronting that situation to recognize that a guide was essential, and I applaud all folks who are fighting the good fight. But if you want to stop fighting and you want to start winning, get yourself tested.
How about this, Paul? A nice, healthy case of diabetes, maybe not so healthy. That's what can happen if you get too much exercise. More on that next here on Health Matters.
This is Paul Rosen, and you're listening to Health Matters, brought to you every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. and rebroadcast the following Saturday from 6 to 8 a.m. And if you've missed any of these broadcasts or care to listen to past shows, go to my website, acunatural.com. Follow the directions. In the meantime, we'll be right back. So stay tuned.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
It's not a myth. It's not magic. It's a program that is wonderful and it works.
Get healthy. Stay healthy.
Your approach is very warm. I feel like you care about whether or not I'm getting better, and that is very encouraging.
With your host, Paul Rosen.
I mentioned this thing a while ago, Paul, about exercise possibly causing type 2 diabetes. Well, it's the belief of some, basically, that because some people who exercise a lot eat certain kinds of food, such as breads and pasta and that kind of thing, they're actually creating imbalances of sugar and insulin in their bodies and therefore making themselves possibly more susceptible to type 2 diabetes. That's all that was right there.
Well, exercise is very important. It's very important to promote and enhance and maintain a higher quality of life. There's just no doubt about it. But unfortunately, like everything, too much of a good thing actually is a bad thing. And that's what exercise can be for a lot of people who force themselves to exercise, do a lot of cardio work and so forth. And the heart sound recorder, that particular technology that we use in our clinic, can absolutely reveal the downsides of both poor nutrition and the results of over-exercising with respect to a person's heart. The heart sound recorder is a piece of technology that enables us to take a live look in at how the heart is actually functioning. And the consequences of a poor diet and over-exercise. You'd be amazed at even professional athletes who undergo an exam using this heart sound recorder to see just how in poor shape their heart really is.
And that's so ironic that exercise, which we take as granted will help us, doesn't necessarily do that. It hurts us, and it especially hurts the heart. Let's do this quickly, Paul. We'll expand on that. But let's go to the phones and speak to Kathy. Kathy, thank you for calling this morning. You're on the air with Paul Rosen.
Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
How can I help?
I wanted to ask you, my niece has a son. He's 4 years old, and he was doing really well, not having any asthma attacks. And now he's on three medications. Is the nutrition testing, is that something that you guys could help him with?
Absolutely.
Get off the medication?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, the problem is for a four-year-old to be on those asthma medications, I mean, I don't want to, you know, depress you, but but the consequences of those medications, you know, in the long term is just horrendous. It's just horrendous. You just have to find out what his nutritional deficiencies and barriers to healing are, and then put him on, you know, put him on the path to healing. I mean, we do it every week in our clinic, and especially for the little ones. This is just, this is where I really honestly believe Western medicine falls so short, because they don't know any other way. That's their tools. In all fairness, that's their tools. Medications and surgery. But the body, generally speaking, doesn't need those things unless you are in acute danger of dying. And I don't think your grandchild is. So at least doesn't sound like it to me from your description.
I don't know exactly.
Yeah, and asthma asthma is it's a relatively simple thing to address.
Oh, okay.
But you have to be willing to make the changes. Now, having said that, dear, it's important to understand that I don't take a patient who is younger than 18 years old without having, you know, a supervising adult.
No.
You know why?
His mother would totally. No, go ahead.
Because kids won't do what parents won't do.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
No, she's done acupuncture. She's tried all kinds of different things. That's what made me think of you.
Yeah, no, this is, I mean, it just, as good as acupuncture is, and I love acupuncture, lifestyle change, the nutritional, you know, the nutrition, and most importantly, finding out what the barriers to healing are. I mean, most asthmatics that I work with have some kind of ongoing immune challenge.
Oh.
Some virus, some parasite, some you know, fungal overgrowth, some bacterial something or other, and it's just not being addressed.
All right. Okay, I will definitely get her in touch with you and then have her come out and see what we can do to help him.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally essential. Wonderful thing to do. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You are totally welcome.
Thanks, Kathy. 503-225-0860 to speak directly to Paul Rosen this morning on Health Matters. 503-225-0860. Paul, this matter of exercise hurting the heart, I'm looking at some British research right here, and they say they surveyed a bunch of athletes whose average age was 57, and they did all kinds of stuff over their lives, you know, ultra marathons, marathons, that kind of thing. It seems that the damage to the heart often occurs when exercise is done frequently over a long period of time.
Yeah, because number one, you're not providing the proper nutrition for the heart. There is an epidemic of vitamin B1 and B4 deficiency in the diet of Americans. It just doesn't exist, and those are extremely important vitamins. And the heart sound recording can actually reveal that information for people. That's number one. Number two, most people don't generally give their bodies a chance to recuperate because they get themselves on a regimen. I go out and I run every day, or I run every other day, and for most people that's way too much, right? Because they're also working every day too. I mean, the output is extraordinary. So they're not providing the proper nutrition, and they're going out there and they're using the you know, using their bodies in extreme ways, which over time will result in bad things.
Your joints in particular are vulnerable. How many athletes have you read about who have knee problems? Many. The knees seem to be the first part of the body that goes, and that's your other joints too, elbows, you name it. Those things seem to wear out pretty quickly if you're putting that much stress on them.
I mean, here are just a few things that you can use as sort of a measure that you're exercising too much, not giving yourself enough time to recuperate. Number one, you're fatigued. You have some kind of fatigue ongoing, regardless of whether or not you exercise.
Isn't that also ironic? Because exercise, I think, for many, is meant to increase your energy.
If you want to exercise and yet you have extreme resistance to doing so, is another, and you have been exercising, that's another sign, right? Another sign is difficulty sleeping or difficulty staying asleep. That's another sign.
Is that because of the metabolism, because you're producing endorphins or adrenaline?
It's because your body is not balanced. Your autonomic nervous system is not balanced, and you're throwing it out of balance. Soreness, a whole body soreness in various muscles all over the place that seems to take longer and longer to resolve, or that you even have to start using, you think you need to start using medications to resolve it. That's a sign that you're over-exercising and not giving yourself enough recuperation time.
You know, at my gym, I hear people all the time, Paul, say they're generating endorphins and it feels good. As you know, endorphins are hormones secreted by your pituitary gland. They block pain, decrease anxiety, and create feelings of euphoric happiness. But apparently, as you might guess, those things are addictive. That's why some people become addicted to exercise. They're producing those endorphins, and it acts like a drug. And they can't get enough after a while.
Another sign that you are over-exercising or not giving yourself enough time to recuperate is that your immune system begins to weaken and you're more susceptible to sicknesses of various sorts.
And I wonder if people aren't feeling well, they're thinking, well, I need more exercise.
So yes, exercise is an extremely important factor, but unfortunately, for people who do get into exercise regimens, they often over-exercise. And as I said, it's very easy to find out what the condition, the actual real condition of the heart is. And using the heart sound recording technology is a surefire way to get that done, and also a surefire way to put together a strategy that will turn things around.
And also, since we're on the topic, people often misuse exercise equipment. I see it all the time. You see new guys come into a weight room, for example, and they just start banging weights around thinking they're doing themselves some good, but they're not. You really need to know how to use the equipment properly.
Mm-hmm.
So all those factors go into it, doing your exercise properly, doing it in the proper amounts for your particular state, and all those things. So exercise, overall, I think good, except ... Watch out for all these things that could make it not so good.
More often than you can imagine, people over-exercise. The people who buy into exercise is good for you and have a regimen basically overuse it.
If a little's good, more is better, they say, but not necessarily so.
Here's totally
something that's good for you. Protein. You need protein, and we have 7 protein-rich foods you can easily access next on Health Matters.
This is Paul Rosen, and you're listening to Health Matters broadcast every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. and rebroadcast the following Saturday from 6 to 8 a.m. And if you've missed any of these broadcasts or care to listen to past shows, go to my website at AccuNatural. That's acunatural.com. Click on the radio show page, follow the directions, and enjoy. In the meantime, stay with us. We'll be right back with the conclusion of this weekend's Health Matters. Stay tuned.
Health Matters with Paul Rosen.
If you're not getting any relief or not finding any forward momentum in your path to trying to get back to health, I would suggest you go and look into muscle response testing. Go see Paul.
It's a life-changing. You feel so much better. It's priceless.
Straight Talk About Health with your host, Paul Rosen.
7 nutrient-rich foods, and those nutrients include proteins. We'll talk about that in just a second. 503-225-0860. Paul Rosen's ready to take your call on your health issue. 503-225-0860.
Let's list them. Let's go.
Seven protein, or I should say nutrient-rich foods. What are they, Paul? Come on.
Well, one
go.
Of them is a protein.
One of them is
wild-caught salmon.
Okay.
Wild-caught salmon. Bone broth.
Okay, hang on. Back up a little bit. Wild-caught salmon.
No,
not
let's
the,
not go into detail. Wild-caught
okay.
salmon.
All right. Wild-caught salmon.
We don't have
salmon.
Time.
All right.
Bone broth. Green veggies. Garlic.
That's four. You're up to four already.
Sprouts.
Sprouts.
Pastured eggs. Organic pastured eggs.
All right.
Liver.
Liver.
Liver's really important. It's one of the few foods that contain the B vitamins for heart.
Are onions good for you?
Other foods for heart. defatted wheat germ, rice polishings, and a high-quality brewer's yeast.
Okay. And we have a couple more, I think.
That's it. What
That's
do you mean?
It?
I went through. I said seven.
Through
I've got 10 already.
Holy cow.
Yeah. That's
Man,
it.
Man, that
I went to 10.
Impressive.
Three additional.
That was less than 2 minutes.
Hey, Katie's wants to wrap up her experience with finding her specific diet, the diet that was designed specifically for her based on her uniquenesses. And the results were, well, in her own words, extremely amazing. So what was the wrap up? What did she have to say in the end? Has anyone else noticed any changes in you in the last
month? Yes, they have. My family, of course, and then some coworkers who are like, you look to be like you're a little happier and healthier and bubblier or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Feeling better.
Are they a little jealous, maybe?
Perhaps. A couple of them, I've given them your card.
Yeah. You think we can get them into,
okay,
you know, to feel better?
Yes, they keep watching me so that, you know, this could happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's so great. Well, I mean, is there anything else that you would add, you know, to this?
Yeah, that's one thing. Don't wait until they hear you three times before they do it. Get on that phone tomorrow morning, call Isla, and make an appointment.
Call Isla. Yeah, she's waiting. And, you know, most of it, and remember we talked when I asked you to do this in the first place. And, mm-hmm. you know, for me, it's, you know, I'm going to eat. I've got a roof over my head. I've got, you know, food, shelter, and clothing, but it's, you know, my reason is really to help people. I mean, do you get that feeling?
Yes.
I mean, does the staff give you that feeling?
Mm-hmm, absolutely, yes.
So, you know, that's why I really wanted you to, you know, to do this, because between you and me, we are very likely to be able to help somebody.
Right, right. I hope, because I think, I mean, it's just amazing. Totally amazing to me.
What would you recommend to anybody out there who wanted to, you know, right now, start to take some steps to address, you know, their health concerns?
Well, I think the first thing they need to do is come over and have you do the evaluation. Find out what's going on in their life, what's bothering them, and you know, it's probably something that they eat, you know, frequently, and they think that it's a very good thing for them, and. At this stage of their life, it may not be a very good thing for them.
Yeah, well, if they're experiencing symptoms as you were, you know that's true.
Yeah, totally. And I'm getting a little bit better with it every day. I'm getting a little more creative of you know, foods that I have that don't include grains. And I was not eating a lot of sugar anyway, so that wasn't, you know, I mean, that was one of the things.
Right, I remember you had already taken sort of a large step in that direction.
Out of my life.
Right.
But, you know, occasionally it creeps back in there, and you don't feel good when it does. And I was very aware of that before I came over. So, but, you know, it does come back in occasionally, but I don't feel well when I have it, and I know that.
It's so cool to actually be able to identify it and get the results.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, you can see that, because at the end of the day, you know, I can talk about it all I want, or anybody can talk about it all they want, but really results is the key, right?
Absolutely, yeah, for sure.
And it does take some effort on your part.
It does, yeah. You have to pay attention to what you're doing. You have to think about what you're going to have. You can't just grab something to eat. Now you have to think, oh, wait a minute, I can't have that. You know, oh, my gosh. And, you know, I have to look at labels, read labels, see what's in things. You know, I remember my...
Oh, yeah, what was...
My hairspray had wheat in it. Why would they put wheat in hairspray?
Because it's cheap.
I know, I guess. It's a good filler or something. I don't know, but it was a ingredient.
So, and that's what you find, right? I mean, you've got to be a great label reader, because what you thought, I mean, all of these products that we tend to use, just, you know, they're there and we don't even think about it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Include what?
They include wheat and grains and all this junk.
Soy and corn.
Yes,
and
all the stuff that you can't pronounce on the label. You know,
uh-oh.
If you read it and you can't pronounce it, I figure I'm putting it back on the shelf.
Well, anything else you want to add for folks?
No, I think that probably pretty much takes care of it.
That does it, Katie. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay.
I really appreciate it. I really do. And I know someone else is going to take action, you know, because of us. And that, you know, for me, that's the whole point.
Right, right.
So
be healthy, absolutely.
Thank you so much
for
calling again, and have a great rest of the weekend.
Okay, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye, Paul.
Now, that's a good, healthy way to get to good health. Katie's story right there. One more wacky diet, Paul. I wanted to mention this one.
Oh, my gosh.
I do not recommend it. It's called, I kid you not, this is for real. I'm not making this up. The tapeworm diet. Yes, you ingest tapeworms. They go into your intestines, eat away all that nasty stuff that's making you fat.
Did you have to?
And then you go to a doctor and he prescribes you some kind of anti-worm medication. I kid you not. You put them in, you take them out. That's what they say with the tapeworm diet.
Mm.
This is a real thing that
I don't
highly
recommend that, by the way.
Nobody does. Who in his right mind would recommend that? But again, it's a real thing. People are buying into this stuff. It's amazing to me.
Well, snake oil salesmen are plentiful, and you know, you have to be cautious. You have to be careful, no doubt. But don't be cynical, and don't feel blue. There is hope out there.
It's not hopeless, I guess, is the
no,
is
there
the message.
Is. There really is. Katie's a perfect example of it. I'm a perfect example of my own approach. I do what I say, and I say what I do. It's just that you guys have to make the decision to take control of your life and hopefully stop rooting around, stop guessing, stop the confusion. Get tested. You'll find the answer. You'll have success. Do it today.
And
what are
not,
you waiting for?
Do not eat tapeworms.
Better next
for
week.
You, better for you, better for the tapeworms. Yes, next week.
Next
fall.
Week, hot flashes, night sweats, and insomnia. No, you don't have a disease, and conventional therapies like HRT put you at greater risk for cancer and stroke. Here's a safer approach and why low-fat diets aren't the answer. Plus, your personal care products often only make things even worse. And we'll identify some of those for you. In the meantime, the symptoms you suffer from today are a reflection of the choices you made yesterday. To accomplish what others don't, you've got to do what others won't. You ate your way there, and you can eat your way out. It's the food, folks. Remember to keep yours fresh.